Okay, we're continuing in the Bilvavi, Volume 2, page Kuf Tes Zayin. We're in the chapter 12 of Vanit Sefila. We're in the subcategory Lo Nitein Lahasig Dover Lo Tefila. One cannot achieve anything without prayer. So that was a hotly contested topic yesterday, if we can indeed attain things without prayer. But as the Tzaddik says, that's the fact, and he didn't really want to get into it. We could see why, but that's what Chazal say. And if a person says, but a person has to come to grips with the fact that he doesn't feel that, he hears what the rabbis say, he believes what the rabbis say, but he feels physically that it's different. So one has to daven to Hashem, number one, that he should be able to see the difference and feel the difference. So he continues. We learn from this. There's 2 points in prayer. Number one, reishis tefila hi avoda atzmis. Prayer is its own individual service. Klomer, meaning to say, kedei la'agil ha'madrega she'hatfila tia be'emes tefila amitis v'tavim makeh nefesh. So that prayer should reach a true level of prayer, and it should come from the depths of the soul. If you really understood that you couldn't, a person has to work and recognize that without prayer, you don't get anything. If you really believe that, then you would take tefillah seriously. The fact that you think you're getting things without prayer, therefore you don't have to pray. Or if you do, you're doing it because God told you to. But I don't really believe it's so important, because I see my neighbor doesn't pray, he gets everything he wants. So, and that's a very important concept, because if you think you can get it without prayer, why in the world would you pray? If you really think about it, if you really believe what people were feeling yesterday, right? So why do you pray? Because I can get it without it anyway. So that's number one. And if you really believe you can't get anything without it, then you're going to take it seriously, because that's the only way you're going to get anything. You put more effort into your tefillah than getting to work at a very early hour in the morning. What happens is people, it's a big nesayin. Work is a big nesayin. It's mamash a big nesayin. And this feeling that if you don't get to work by a certain time, your parnas is going to suffer. In the real truth, it's totally not true. But we don't perceive reality other than that. We say reality is everybody's there at whatever time, 8 o'clock, whatever. So I got to be there. The truth is, Hashem took care of your parnasa without that. And when tefillah has to be short served in order to accommodate the time to be at work, that's the biggest proof that people do not believe that nothing comes without prayer. You say nothing comes without me being on time at work. So you're going to say, yeah, but that's what I see. That's the problem. That's what you see. That's the problem. Chazal say you don't get anything without prayer, not without work at a specific, not to say you don't work at all. But if you understood what was the primary thing of getting it for you is the prayer. That is really what is getting you what you're getting in life. And that which you think, getting to work on time and being on time, and that's what it is, that's really not the truth. That's really not the truth. But you say, but I see with my eyes that that's what happens. Well, the rabbis say not like that. Okay. And the rabbis, weren't a bunch of old guys just like shooting from the hip Monday morning quarterback opinions. So it's a problem. We don't accept what rabbis say, especially Chazal. I mean, it's bad enough you don't believe what I tell you, okay? But when Chazal are telling you things, I mean, these are the holiest people in the world who know reality inside and out. And they tell you that, you know that's the truth. You know that's the truth. But my eyes don't see. It doesn't matter what your eyes see. It's what Chazal tell. They have better eyes than we have. And if they say you can't get anything in this world without it, then you can't. You think you're getting otherwise. It's not the way it appears. So if a person realized that, they would be focused on finding the environment to daven properly and to get work at a different time. Okay, we're not saying you're going to go to a 7-hour minyan, okay, and come to work at 3 p.m. Okay. But if there's minions where you mamish can't daven, but we got to fit the davening into my work schedule, is doing everything reverse. So that's the first point. You've got to realize and really believe this concept. If you don't believe this concept, then you're never going to really pray sincerely, the way it's really meant. The way it's really meant is because you really figure, what do I? Okay, I'm a nice Jew. I'm really making my money because I work. God tells you to daven. Okay, I have to do it. It's part of being a card-carrying member of the Jewish people. And if I don't daven, God's gonna. It's a bad strike against me. I don't want any strikes against me. So I'll just, you know, do the least that I can to get it done. All right, and that's unfortunate. What comes out? It's a big nesayin. No one's criticizing anybody. It's a big nesayin. But that's how it plays out. That's how it plays out. So that's the first step, is to realize that tefillah itself is a big, hard work. And to reach this level where you're really davening the way it should be done, you gotta understand this concept. Without prayer, you're gonna get nothing in this world. And you gotta work on this point a lot. That without prayer, you're not getting anything. You gotta work on that and work on that and work on that. Okay. So that's point number one. And the second point is, Tefillah he davar shemakif es kol ha'avoda kula. Prayer encompasses our entire service to Hashem. And that's what he's going to elaborate on now. A nekuda shlo tekarim lo tefillah. There's no point in your life that should not be preceded with a prayer. Adam writes a parnasa. Person needs parnasa, he mispal, he davins. Zivug ashidach, he mispal, he davins. Writes a banim, you want kids, gamal kach, he mispal, he davin for that. That's all in the physical realm. And the unfortunate part is, that's where we feel tefillah is most needed. And he says that's absolutely not true. Of course you do daven for that. But if that's going to be the be-all and end-all of tefillah, you've fallen way, way short of the mark. Aval ikar ha-tefillah hi b'chelek ha-ruchani. The main part of tefillah is in the spiritual realm. Meaning to say, b'chol chelek ma'avoda, in every part of your service to Hashem, you want to acquire that aspect of service to Hashem, he must combine with that prayer. He's going to give examples. I will give you many examples to make this real to you, many examples, but this is the fundamental principle. If you're living without prayer, and we'll see what he means by living with it. If you recall in volume 1, what did he call prayer? Jeanette, you remember? The Olam Shel Tefillah. Remember the concept? The Olam Shel Tefillah. It's called a world of prayer. Not just a concept of prayer. It's a world of prayer. And we'll see, he's going to apply this here. But if you don't have, if you're living without prayer on a consistent basis, Chasera Regular Vishal Merkava, you're missing the fourth leg of the Merkava. The chariot. Well, chariot last night, chariot tonight, this morning. Right again. So for those who weren't here last night, that the concept of God's chariot, right? Chariot has wheels, and a chariot, the purpose of a chariot is to move something from one place to another, and therefore to bring godliness into the world, and to have it manifest in certain parts of the world, you need a chariot, as it were. And a chariot needs four wheels. And that godliness to bring inside yourself also needs that same chariot of four wheels. Now, who are those wheels? What are those wheels? Well, the wheels are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. That's the main hashbos, the main influences of Hashem in this world. Okay, and that's everything in this world. If you don't have those three, you don't feel God in this world. Yeah, but there's a fourth wheel. Without a fourth wheel, it doesn't go so well. So who's the fourth wheel? David. And what is David? As we'll see, David is prayer. He is prayer. So everything we have comes from the patriarchs. Everything we have comes from the patriarchs. It's just a manifestation of their midos. But all that will never happen without the fourth wheel, without the prayer of David HaMelech. In other words, everything you do in this world has to manifest in the broadest sense, kindness, control, and truth. Everything else is just a subcategory of that. Everything you do in your life, every action you'll do in your life, will either be based out of kindness, control, or truth. Whatever, I did something else that didn't look like that. It's just a manifestation. It's a subcategory of it. So that if we live that way, we live like godly people. But guess what? There's only three of the wheels. If you don't pray, you're not going to get any of those three. You will not succeed in kindness. You will not succeed in control. You will not succeed in the truth. without prayer. And that's what he says. David HaMelech, who, Shehuba Bechinas Vani Tefila, David HaMelech, he is the aspect of I am a prayer, who Hakli Lahasagas Kol Dovar. He is the utensil to acquiring everything in the world. Okay? And that's what the Pasuk says. That's what it says. Ubikashtas Hashem in times before Mashiach. Ubikashtas Hashem Alekecha. You will search out Hashem your God. Ves David Malcolm and King David. So what do we have to... Well, it's kind of interesting. You're searching out God and King David. Right? So, but that Pasuk is describing what's going to happen before the times of Mashiach. As we get closer to Mashiach, we see that there will be a greater importance for prayer. Because that's the whole connection to Hashem. Before Mashiach, if we all don't have tefillah locked in, Mashiach ain't coming. But that's such a serious part to Mashiach, is this idea of tefillah. Therefore, there's such a yetzer hara against tefillah. Because, again, whatever you have the biggest yetzer hara to not do or to go against, you should know that's the most important part of your avodas Hashem. And when you look at it as a group, we're having major problems in a certain area, it's because that's what we really need to bring Mashiach, and that's why Yetzirah is going to fight his hardest to do that. And that's why you have these aspects of such Yetzirah against tefillah, with talking in shul, etc., etc. And Mashiach can't come until we appreciate the importance of tefillah, which is the fourth wheel of the Merkava, which is, you know, obviously Mashiach ben David. So everything... It's interesting. What David HaMelech is saying is, you know, David HaMelech was a pretty successful guy. Really successful guy. And David said, everything I could accomplish in my busy life, and he did a lot of things. If you say, David, how would you describe yourself? Great king, great warrior, great singer of Israel,
poet,
whatever, you know. Learn how to, you know, great person overcoming life's difficulties. But if you ask him, he says, "Vani tefillah, I'm a prayer. That's everything that I am. I'm a prayer. I have nothing without davening. Okay, yes, I was a king and I spent hours in the palaces and that. Without davening, ich was a gornish. I'm a nothing." So he is a critical utensil for this. He's the fourth wheel on the Merkava. So he continues, Avram Avinu Huminas Ahava. Avram is the attribute of love. If a person wants to acquire the attribute of loving Hashem, must davek b'midas shel Avram. He must cleave to the attribute of Yitzchak. Yitzchak midas ayira, Yitzchak is the attribute of fear. Yaakov midas aracham, Yaakov is the attribute of mercy. Torah tells us we have to attach ourselves to his qualities, to be close to him. Mahu rachum afatarucham, just like he is compassionate, you have to be compassionate. But if you don't connect with that prayer, nothing will ever last. Nothing will ever last. Finished. It's not going to happen. You want to be a humble person. You want to be a kind person. You want to love Hashem. You can't do without davening for it. So Gemara in Sanhedrin says Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu the Melech HaMashiach, after he saved him from Sancheriv, right? But the Malachim disqualified him. Why? Because he didn't sing Shira. He didn't sing Shira. He didn't sing songs. Right? Azamra Lashem. I sing out to Hashem, the Navi says. So what's the thing? Navi said, you got to sing out to Hashem. Do you know what Chizkiyahu said to him? He said, you know, singing ain't my thing. It ain't my thing. In my yeshiva, didn't teach us this. Didn't have a Kalbach service at night. They didn't sing Zmiras in my yeshiva. You know what my thing is? Torah. You know, I'm a big Marbitz Torah. I spread Torah throughout the world. And he rejected the power of tefillah. Of course, no, what do you mean? Yechizkiyahu the Melech didn't daven? Of course he davened three times a day. What are you talking about? He's probably davened a long Shemoneh Esrei too. Right? But he wasn't on the level of Vani Tefillah. He wasn't on the level of David HaMelech. I am a prayer. His Torah is beautiful, but it wasn't Mashiach's Torah. The Baal Shem Tov's Torah is Mashiach's Torah, because it was accompanied with tefillah. And you'll see, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but you'll see what he means over here. You know, without tefillah, you don't have a Mashiach. You can't be a Melech Mashiach without not just davening, all right, but that it's everything. Do you look at davening as everything? You know, if somebody asks you, you know, what do you do for a living? Tell them, I'll say, pray. If you're not on that level, you're far away. We're far away. You gotta recognize, what do you do for a living? You know, so you're gonna say profession, this and that. You know, that's not true. That's what you do to make a parnosa, but that's not what you do to live. I'm a Jew. No, that's still not what you do to live. I learn. That's still not what you do to live. I pray. That is life. That is the entire life. And that's what King David said on his CV. What's his life experience? Tefillah. That's it. That's it. He has other accomplishments to his record, but it all is under subcategory tefillah. And that's what he says. Kol zman she'olam ein b'bechinah shel tefillah, as long as the world is not on a level of prayer, hein b'chlolos ha'olam v'hein b'pratios, regardless if it's within the overall world or in the details of individuals, as long as the world is not at that prayer, lo niska l'gula, will not merit the Mashiach. And that's what that, you know, there's an interesting halacha. We know that when you finish the bracha, Goal Yisrael, you have to go right into Shmoneh Esrei. There's a concept called Smichas Gula Tefillah, combining Gula to prayer. That's a halacha concept. Now he's playing on that words, saying, Rakish Yisraim Gula Tefillah Ba Gula. Only connect the redemption to prayer, then will the redemption come. In other words, without prayer, there'll be no Gula, just like nothing else in this world will not come without prayer. Wherever you find Geula in the Tanakh, wherever you find the Jewish people were saved, you always will find tefillah before it. And there was never such thing, there was a salvation of the Jews without intense prayer. It just didn't happen. So we'll see. So now, what he's driving at is, in Kinyan Amiti, we're on page Kuf Yitzayin now, in Kinyan Amiti below tefillah, you won't have a true acquisition without prayer. Whatever person thinks he acquires without prayer, it's all the world of fantasy. A person has to understand that he and his prayer, they are one and the same. They're the same thing. Tefillah, prayer, is not just an important concept. It's a nice thing that if you acquired it, it's a nice thing, but if you don't, it's just not part of my repertoire. You know, I know people daven really well. I don't. But I learn pretty good. And I do a lot of kindness. But prayer ain't my thing. So then forget it. You ain't got nothing. It's not like a nice thing. It's everything. It colors everything you do. If you do it without tefillah, you're very far away from anything that you're doing, really. It's pretty depressing, right? It is so important, you can't accomplish anything without it. Now he's going to give the examples. He's a great example here. What can we compare this to? A person goes into the store and wants to buy a bottle of Coke. Right? That's made out of glass. Hamocher motzi ma'makrer bakbuk shasiv. He takes out of the fridge, a bottle of Coke. He gives him a cold bottle of Coke. Stretches his hand out to give it to the customer. When the owner stretches out his hand to give the customer the bottle of Coke, and the guy has his hand out to get it. But in the last minute, when the owner releases his hand, the buyer retracts his hand, and the Coke falls on the ground and smashes. So he's saying, Tfilahi Bechina Shal Yad. Prayer is the aspect of a hand, base kibble, a receptacle. V'mein Yad Mekabelis, if the hand isn't receiving, no matter how many bottles of Coke you give him, he'll never get it straight. And all the bottles of coke will fall on the earth. Velo, and what does he have? Lo yebam, he has nothing to drink. That's the analogy. Oh, how is this fitting into prayer? Hanekudah shel tefillah kolelas as kol hanekudah sheyesh b'avoda. The point of prayer incorporates all the points that there are in service Hashem. Kol ma'asharim reitz lahasig, anything you want to have in life. Avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, rachamim, talmud Torah, mitzvahs. You want to achieve real love of Hashem, not imaginary love of Hashem. Fear of Hashem. A true attribute of mercy. True learning of Torah. True fulfillment of mitzvos. They have to be preceded without prayer. And if you don't have it, you're dropping the bottles. So what are you talking about? I did so many mitzvos yesterday without davening. You did. But you didn't get any closer to Hashem. Remember, a mitzvah means the point of a mitzvah, the goal of a mitzvah, I feel closer and connected and cleaving to Hashem. If you didn't have proper tefillah before you put your tefillah on yesterday, it ain't going to get you closer to Hashem. It's just not. You think you love Hashem, you don't even know it. You haven't begun to know what loving of Hashem means. In all these spiritual areas, that's also in the physical areas, but he doesn't want to deal with that because that's not the point of this book. That's not the point of this book. The truth is, all your part in us, all those things, is also an illusion. What is that? It's real money. It's not giving you any life. It's not giving you any life. So all these things, you're not accomplishing them without that coming first with prayer. You'll get none of these spiritual levels. That's one of the things people say. You know, Rabbi, I've been studying for years. I don't feel I'm getting anywhere. Yeah, because you never davened. That was the story with the Rabbi Nachman in that first piece that we did a few years ago. Rabbi Nachman, the guy, I ain't getting anywhere. I'm not getting it. He says, you have to daven, but I davened. You're not davened. You got to really daven. It's become so critical. If you're losing the commandment of davening, all the work you're doing, now certainly Hashem rewards you for it. Don't think we've wasted our time totally. He understands. But you're very far away from getting the real goal of what we're trying to achieve. Yes, Mitch?
Prayer is a big word. Are you talking about banking or asking?
We're going to explain it. Just hang on. Another page. But I'll tell you right now, it's everything. It's everything and more. Okay, but you'll see. You'll see what he's driving at. You'll see. Just another page. We're going to get to it. Right? So now, but that's so critical. I mean, that's so important. That's what, honestly, when I finish meeting with certain people and they're having problems, I keep telling them at the end, after all the guidance and the words that come, I say, then they daven tashem to make it so. Always, everything I would say, Davin Tashem to make it. Davin Tashem, you know, you're having this problem, Davin Tashem to make it so. And that's so critical. And that is why we fail. You're walking around. I get a lot, so many times I'll say, I don't think I'm getting ahead. Just met somebody last week, you know, been doing this for a couple of years already. You know, I just don't feel I'm getting anywhere. So, because you're not in the world of prayer. It's a hard world to be in. Right, but we'll see. It's not really that hard. It just needs, and again, you don't have to be a genius for it. It just needs your attention. So we'll see. K'shanachlan poschim es hayom shalad. We start our day. Davar rishon tikna lanu chazal hakadosh mispalo. The first thing the rabbis told us to do was daven to start your day, as the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yiraucha im shemesh. They should fear you when the sun rises. I mean, right from the beginning of the day, people got to fear you. No, this doesn't mean fear, be afraid. It means to realize the reality is that there's a God in your life. B'nekudas ha-mavar me-hachashecha l'nekudas ha-or n'incheches tefillah. When we're passing, the rite of passage, the passage from night to morning, shouldn't go by without a prayer. K'nei she'odam yuchal l'ulma teira k'mo she'tzorach b'meshech ha-yayim v'yuchal l'kayim mitzvahs u'mucha shreis ha-yom shalotia b'mal shal tefillah. If a person wants to be able to learn Torah, as it should be done throughout the day, to do mitzvahs should be done today, to deal honestly in business throughout the day, whatever you got to do as a Jew throughout the day, in order to do that, you must start the day with a pathway of prayer. K'moshe Eskarno, as we already mentioned earlier in this book, Sha'reishis he also nekudah shemamshichal erech hayom, that the beginning is what sets the tone for the rest of the day. Okay, let's turn a page. So let's see how our beginning was. So you guys are thinking, well, wait a minute, we haven't started the day yet, we're going to daven soon. No. Kufir ches. Im kol hayom yiyeh b'mahalach shel tefillah. If the whole day is on a pathway of prayer, not just davening, that's meant to last. Okay, I'm going to daven now. I'm going to daven now for 45 minutes, an hour. And that's going to last me until mincha. It ain't enough. That's not the way it works. If there's a pathway, if there's prayer throughout the day, we'll explain what that means. We will explain what that means. If there is prayer throughout the day, it's like a road. You're on a road. You get direct, you got a GPS telling you where to go. The Jewish GPS keeps you on the road of prayer all the time. If you're on the road of prayer, and while I'm on the road of prayer, I gave some tzedakah. And while I'm on the road of prayer, I learned some Torah. And while I'm on the road of prayer, I was working and to make a Kiddush Hashem at work. Right? While you're on the road of prayer. Then yakim l'toira, yakim l'mitzvahs, yakim l'sharek l'vim sh'yas malachayim. Then there will be a kiyum. It will last. Your Torah will last. Your mitzvahs will last. Everything else you do will last. Right? And that way he has a kinyan on the whole day. He's acquired the day. Through davening, you will behave differently at work. You will. But we're not talking about just shachris. I know it's not fair that the author isn't spelling it out to you. Chas v'shalom, I should criticize the author. It's not my place at all. I would have maybe said what's going on. But that's his style. His style is to keep you in suspense. You know, what are you talking about? What kind of prayer? Just trust him. He'll get there. Right? But your whole behavior, it's not me. Remember, you don't go to work to make the money. That's not why you go to work. You go to work to be Mekad Hashem Shemayim. That is the whole difference. And Agav Hashem will throw you some money. You know, and I'll throw you a few dollars. I'll throw you what you need. There's a reason why you have to be in that workplace. It's to sanctify God's name. That's the reason. It's the reason why you live here and you're working over there. Why? Because you have to sanctify God's name there. And you have to acquire. Remember what the Chovas Levavos says, the whole reason of work, two reasons for work. And it's not to make money. Surprisingly. Right? It's to keep you busy so you get out of trouble if you're not learning. So if you really want to learn a whole day, you don't need to work. Right? But it keeps you busy. Idle hands make trouble. It's big trouble. So to keep you out of trouble, A. Oh, you're gonna say, wait a minute, I go to work, I get into trouble. No. But it's supposed to keep you out of trouble by not being stale. And number two, and this is the most important part of work. This is to say, if you say, was I a successful X? Was I a successful businessman? In Shemayim, God's going to rate your success on only one criteria, on this next criteria. Since the curse of Adam Arisha, and working is the only way that it appears to you that you will be able to survive, right? If you don't work, I die, you think. And it is true in a certain way. But the bottom line is, will you be a Torah Jew at work? Will you follow the Torah exactly the way God tells you to follow the Torah at work? And there's a lot of times where there's conflict. God says one thing, and the work says something else. Many, many times. No, Michael, no. Right? Right? I'll give you some examples, right? But the work says something else. So you got to say, but the Torah says this, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but you're not going to succeed. God, you want me to starve? Torah says, this is what you do. In other words, of all areas of life, the one that we take the most seriously is work, because without work, you're dead. If you don't work, you don't make money, you die. You don't make money, you're not happy. It's all that, right? So Hashem says, I want you to go out there, and I want you to listen to everything I say, down to the little thing. But that's not the way that you make a business. I don't care. You're going to do it this way. That's going to show that you're with me. That's the whole reason you go to work. What you make, I already decided on Rosh Hashanah, said Hashem. All the rest is just narishkeit. Just a narishkeit. You're going to work hard to make extra money, I'll get someone in your family sick to take it away. That's all. You think you made so much money, so clever? I said you're only going to make so much this year. You're going to invest with somebody and you'll lose, you know, you invest in whatever dropped, you know. It's going to fall. You go to work less, then I would have put a different idea in your mind to change your investment. You wouldn't have lost the money, you wouldn't have had to work so hard. Yeah, we don't have a trouble accepting that, but that's the main reason why you are at work, is to go through the obstacle course and pass. To learn through that there is a Hashem in this world. And you're going to learn this Hashem in this world maybe much more by being in the workplace than by being in the base medrash learning. Because that's what really happens. That's where base medrash, you're protected. You're learning what are the big tests already. Learn a few more pages. All those big tests in the base medrash too. to focus and learn nonstop for 14 hours a day, I'd like to challenge anyone here to do it. You know, that's a big test in itself. Okay. But where does life really play out? It plays out where there's a test of jealousy, where there's a test of integrity, where there's a test of this. And you're tested every day a million times over. And to pass with flying colors, you know, that, you're only going to get that if you pray. And we'll see what he means. But, you're at work. And you have to deal with women at work. You got to deal with women at work nowadays, unfortunately, right? And the women are not dressed modestly. And there's big problems there, right? So, and there is a certain work code. I mean, you gotta be friendly with everybody at work, right? So I don't want to get into a semantic debate over here. I'm not going to argue with anybody over here. But I think we all honestly know there's a difference between being courteous and being friendly. Do I need to explain it, or we understand the difference between courteous and friendly? You know. Courteous means you say good morning. You say good morning. You don't pile on 50 tons of work to someone a minute before the day's over and they have to stay another 5 hours. You didn't tell them along it's going to happen. You got to say, okay, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, I want you to know that today we've got this on our agenda, this on our agenda, this. I don't want any surprises for you today. As a matter of fact, for the whole week, you might want to budget your time such and such. You know, that's being courteous. You know, if you walk by and you see she's crying, and you say, what's the matter? Ugh, my best friend just died. Okay, take the rest of the day off. Whatever. It's courteous. But you sit down and go, so Marge knew, tell me how your day went. Really, that's so interesting. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know? And another thing, that's being friendly. Okay? The Chazal tell us, Al tarba sicha misha. Don't talk too much to women. Don't talk. I'm not saying you walk in, you go like this. You know? And Not saying that, but there's a fine line, but a great divide between being courteous and being friendly. And when Hashem sends you to the workplace, it's a big nesayin. It's a big nesayin. And where to look, and what to look at, okay, right? It's a big nesayin. It's a big nesayin. How to do this, Rabbi? You don't understand. There's a whole new concept in the management world out there that we have to feel like we're friends. And we have to do this, and we have to, you know, have these experiences together, and the whole company has a company party, and a this, and a that, and everything else. The Torah says, no. That's it. You ask Hashem, do I make a Christmas party for a business? The answer is, no. And you know what? If you're a mensch, and you're courteous, no one will quit on you. That's what Hashem says. And if they do, you don't need them. That's what the Torah says. You want to ask, did anybody ask Hashem his opinion? Especially if you own the company? No, so say a Christmas party. You want to give him a bonus? Give him a bonus. Say, in lieu of the Christmas party, you know, let's say it costs your face $30 a person to make a Christmas. I don't know what it costs. So we're giving you, here's a voucher to go to the keg and face, this place, and you'll have a free dinner with your wife. You know what? They'd like it more. They'd like it more. Alright? Since everybody, Rabbi, you're not out in the world. You don't understand anything, Rabbi. Everyone makes a Christmas party. And we have to make one too. I dare you to try it once and see what happens. I want to see everybody walk out of you on you because you didn't make a Christmas party. Hashem says you're going to make the same parnasa anyway. You're going to make the same parnasa. It's going to be a Christmas party. That's so everybody should be friends, and you should be friendly. You don't have to be friends with anybody in the office. You have to be courteous. To be a mensch. They should see you never get angry at them. And when the secretary did the most boneheaded thing, and when you told her to book you a ticket to London, and you only do work in Ontario, and she books you a ticket to London, England, okay, and it's a no refund fare. And if you say, okay, I understand you made a mistake, let me explain something to you, Mrs. Schwartz. You know, it's also another thing, okay, we're not going to accept either. You're supposed to call her Mrs. Schwartz and not, you know, Jane. You know, and it doesn't matter, it'll keep it professional, but instead of yelling, Jane, you're an idiot, blah, 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 or say, Mrs. Schwartz, let me explain a few things to you. And very calmly, you know, we are only a local industry, so I maybe didn't make myself clear enough to tell you it was London, Ontario, But if you notice, but nicely, not condescending, you know, we never do work outside of Ontario. So in case I ever send you're not sure, always make sure it's in Ontario. You know, that person will see that you're a mensch. And that person will want to work with you. Would rather work with you than the guy who's chummy and puts his arm, I don't know what they do anymore. I know what's legal, what's not legal, what you get accused for abuse, chvais. But you understand, they don't need you to schmooze and talk with them as much as if you're a mensch with them, you treat them with respect, and you don't put them down. And that's what the Torah says you should do. That's what the Torah says you should do. That's the way you're supposed to live anyway. Right? So that's really, and you're not going to be able to do that if you don't daven. Right? If you're a mammon, if you really believe in Hashem, right, you're going to succeed in business by following halacha. And not by being nichshol, by stumbling in sins. And you have to daven to Hashem that you shouldn't be nichshol in that area. So if you have a company, again, sometimes you're the president, sometimes you're not the president. There are a big difference. If you're a president, like you have H&R, right, you tell the people when you come to work, you have to dress modestly. That's the dress code. That's it. Nothing revealing. You just don't work here. If you want to work for us, at H&R, and you got to dress like a mensch. That's all. And if you're not, and you work in such a place where it's not that way, you got to ask a lot of shilas. It's not so pushy. It's not so pushy. I'm not giving any answers. I'm just saying there's a lot of shilas to be asked. A, if you should work there, and if you do, or you say, well, okay, Rabbi, but you know, well, how do I know what's going to come tomorrow? Who's going to be a client? So you have to daven Hashem. You have to, while you're at work, you have to daven Hashem. I hope, I don't know who Mrs. Frazier is, but I hope when she comes in that she's dressed modestly, and if not, I should be able to control where my eyes are looking. And you got to daven to Hashem for that. You have to mamish daven for Hashem that He should give you that. Right? So that's what he means. You're not going to succeed in anything. You want to have a kinyan. A kinyan means, like, at the end of the day, before you go to bed, what can you say you locked in your pocket, you acquired and you own? What can you say at the end of the day? For example, you guys are learning. Okay, how much of this learning did you retain? How much is yours? Well, how much did you daven for it? How much did you daven for it? At the end of the day, you know, you go back and say, year, you know, I learned so much, I don't know anything. That's right, because you didn't daven. I don't remember a thing I learned. So you had no kinyan. All right? I was at work. So how much Kiddush Hashem did you acquire throughout the year? It's a rat race out there, Rabbi. You know, it's a different world. You had no kinyan on anything. Right, let's just finish the paragraph. But if the beginning isn't without prayer, but if the beginning is like, God forbid, a pathway of a person trying to connect Hashem without praying to Him, it's mamish, like the example that we gave. With the buyer and the seller and the broken bottle of Coke. You know, so what that means is, you worked on a lot of things, but you dropped the ball. You dropped the ball. I spent 45 minutes learning, but at the end of the day, I have nothing, because you dropped the Coke bottle. And it's in so many other ways. For example, just a simple example. So let's say a person, you were nichshol in Shmir Sinayim. You stumbled in how to, what you do with your eyes. Or you stumbled in anger. Let's do something simpler, okay? You have a temperament to get angry. So, you know, what often happens, you know, some days, you know, we all have Alta Zaydis and Bubis who are davening in Shemayim. And if an Alta Zaydi says, listen, Rabbi Yisrael, have Rachmonis on my Einakol. He has such a temper. Please, Hashem, send him a hashpa. Send him an influence of calm. At least let today be a day he doesn't yell at his wife. And there's tefillahs. Our grandparents are davening for us all the time. And I said, finally, Hashem, okay, you said I should give him a day of calm. I'm going to give him a day of calm today. And what happens? The guy, the gainical downstairs, he yells at his wife all day long. So then the Zaydi, who's up in Sharon, says, Rabbi Hashem, what happened? I told you to give him a hashpah that he shouldn't yell at his wife. Hashem says, I did, but he didn't ask for it. He dropped the bottle. The bottle was a bottle of Kedusha and Tahara, a bottle of humility. I was sending down. If he would only have asked for it today, he would have felt it. But he didn't daven for it, so he dropped it. And he messed up in that. Right? That's exactly what the Rashi and Bereishis we said 2 days ago said. Hashem put the grass ready to grow, Ready, mamish ready. No daven for it. You don't daven. How come you don't give me anything? Because you don't daven for it. But not the daven we're going to do now at Shacharis. That's not the real davening. That's just going because you have to. It's when you have to. But the kind of daven he's going to talk tomorrow about. The kind of daven. So you don't ask, you don't get it. You don't have a kin anything in the day. You'll see, tomorrow's going to say, you got to daven before you daven. You know that? We got to daven that our davening should be a davening, not just turning pages. And as long as you don't daven for that, you're going to continually just turn pages. And that's why, you know, if Stan will take 2 more minutes, everyone's getting nervous. Because, I can't, it's wrecking up my whole day. I'm going to be late for work. Mitzvah Hashem should give us the schus. This is a tefillah. That we should daven to Hashem, that He should help us to be able to daven. Should be able to acquire something at the end of the day.